I wonder if you're any good at getting what you want. Maybe getting someone to write a job that wasn't done the right way in the first place. Getting your children into a particular school. Getting hold of an item which, when you first ask, isn't available. There are all kinds of occasions when our first request doesn't get what we want, and I reckon there are broadly three different types of approaches of where people take things from there. Those who take approach number one are determined to get what they want at any cost. They'll be aggressive, maybe even rude. They'll threaten until, on many occasions, the other party simply gives in order to shut them up. The only problem is, whether they're successful or not, in the process, they make no friends. On the contrary, even when they had right on their side, they leave other people feeling bullied and resentful. Approach number two, by contrast, makes the opposite mistake of giving up too easily. Those who take that approach are in those circumstances rather timid. They're so afraid to cause offence, they rarely pursue the matter beyond a first refusal, even when right is clearly on their side. And then there are the people who somehow manage to steer a middle course. Maybe they don't always get what they're asking for, but they seem to more often than not. And whatever happens, they're dealing with others, manage to leave a smile on everyone's face. Because they're persistent, yet without being demanding or rude. They have a certain grace which others warm to. I guess there's a similar mixture of approaches from children trying to get things out of their mum and dad. The aggressive and the whining, "I won't shut up now until you give me what I want" kind of approach. The afraid to offend and gives up far too easily approach. Though, to be honest, I haven't met many children like that. There are some, though, who manage the persistent but subtle approach that has a way of getting what's wanted out of mum and dad, yet without creating a major scene. I wonder what attitude you take when asking things of other people. I wonder what attitude you have when asking things of God. Some people always seem to take the aggressive approach. It's always, "God, I want," and, "God, it's not fair. How could you let this happen to me? If you don't put things straight right away, that's the last time you'll see me here." Whereas others are rather too timid, perhaps thinking, "Why should God care about me?" And hardly even feeling confident enough to try and pray, let alone to persist when they don't meet with any immediate apparent success. The woman in our gospel reading, by comparison, is a perfect example of someone who got it just right, who was persistent but not demanding, who was humble but not timid. Her encounter with Jesus came one day when he was taking a brief trip just outside Israel's boundaries to the region around the towns of Tyre and Sidon. Now, by this time, he clearly earned himself quite a reputation. And so it wasn't surprising that one of the locals came to ask him for help. "Lord, Son of David," she cried, "have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Some Christians today take that to be an ancient way of talking about what we might think of these days as some kind of mental illness. For myself, I'm not quite so sure. On other occasions, the way Jesus dealt with similar problems seems to suggest he believed that in some cases, people could indeed be troubled by evil spirits. Whatever view you take on this woman's daughter, clearly there was a major problem that was wrecking her life. And her mother, no doubt at her wit's end, had gone to Jesus to ask for his help. Notice she didn't just have a vague awareness of him as a miracle worker who might be able to help. She knew who he was claiming to be, Israel's long-awaited Messiah, one who would be the true successor of Israel's greatest king, King David. And that's a claim she was willing to accept. That's why she addressed him, Lorne, son of David. Sadly, though, to begin with, there was no apparent response. We know she was quite persistent in staying close to Jesus and his entourage and in crying for help, because eventually Jesus' disciples got so fed up with her, they said to the Lord, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. The implication seeming to be, can't you just heal her and we'll be shut of her? And Jesus' reply may well seem to us to be rather strange. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And then when the woman persisted further, kneeling at his feet to repeat her request, he was even more direct. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, he said. Taken at face value, that's almost offensive. In that part of the world, dogs weren't kept as pets. There weren't TV shows about dogs, or you didn't have the Israel equivalent of Crufts admiring dogs. To most people, they were little better than vermin. You might say, this woman's nationality wasn't her fault. Why on earth is Jesus being so negative? Part of the answer is that we need to remember the Bible is the story of a rescue, God's rescue mission to save the human race, a race that's rejected him and which, if it isn't brought to heel, is heading for certain judgment and destruction. And in his rescue mission, God has followed a very definite plan. Stage one, starting first of all with the people of Israel, and then stage two, using them to spread his offer of salvation to the rest of the nations. And though in many parts of the gospel, Jesus is preparing his followers to enact stage two, the mission to the rest of the world after his death, Jesus himself is clear that his own mission is part of stage one. It's primarily addressed to the Israelites. That's why he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Well, fair enough, you might say. But if that's the case, why does Jesus then seem to change his mind? One view is to suggest that it's because he's genuinely surprised by the Canaanite woman's faith. He'd thought previously on this understanding that at this stage in God's plans, normally only an Israelite could have such a deep faith and understanding of the things of God, such a profound acceptance of who he was and what he could do. But her persistence persuaded him otherwise. And seeing the intensity of her faith in this view, he then came to see it was right to grant her request and heal her daughter. The other view is to suggest that Jesus could well be testing the woman. He's playing with her in some respects. On this understanding, the comment about it being wrong to toss the children's bread to the dogs is said with a smile. Jesus is caricaturing the way that some of his Jewish opponents might have viewed what he was about to do in healing a foreigner. He's almost setting up her clever reply, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I guess it's hard to be certain what was going on in Jesus' mind, the exact nature of this exchange. What is clear is that this woman's faith is commended very strongly, and her daughter is healed. Woman, you have great faith, Jesus answered. Your request is granted. And one main reason why this episode is included in the Bible is surely as an example to us of the kind of faith that God longs to see in you and in me. The kind of attitude that may well be rewarded by seeing answers to our prayers. Persistent but not demanding, humble but not timid. The woman's persistence is clear from the way she pursued Jesus to the point even of getting on the disciples' nerves. And even after what seems to be a flat rejection, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, she keeps on asking, Lord, help me. Persistent, but not demanding. In all this woman says, notice, there's no sense of complaint. Lord, how dare you let this happen to one of my family? Put it right at once. There's no sense of threat either. If you don't help my family, you'll have to do without me on your side. Just a plain, heartfelt cry. Have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly. Persistent without being demanding. Also humble, but without falling into the trap of being too timid. To some degree, there's a humility shown in coming to Jesus for help in the first place. Plenty of people are so proud about being able to manage on their own that they're reluctant to ask anyone else for help, God included. Then again, this woman's humility is shown in being willing to accept a humble place in God's plans. Jesus made clear that at this stage in God's rescue mission to the world, those who weren't Israelites were accepted and blessed, not by right, but only as a special concession. And maybe some Gentiles, in response to that, could have objected. Not my fault, I was born a Canaanite. Are the Israelites really any better than us? But the woman doesn't take that approach. She humbly accepts a secondary place. Humble, but that's not the same as being timid. If the woman had been timid, she'd scarcely even have had the courage to ask, let alone keep on repeating her request to the Lord. Her attitude reminds me a little of the central character in one of my favourite films, The Shawshank Redemption. The main lead, played by Tim Robbins, is a man who's sentenced to life in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And though the prison environment is pretty brutal, this man stands out as significantly different. He's a gentle man, but also a very determined man. For the first stage of his rehabilitation plan, he decides to write to the state senate requesting funds to build up the prison library. He tells us he wrote a polite letter request once a week for several years, and then twice a week for several more years, until at last his request is granted and the books arrive. And that's a kind of picture of the faith we see in this woman, that God wants to see in each of us. Persistent without being demanding, humble without being timid. Those attitudes should be a model for almost every prayer we pray, because they're at the very heart of what it means to have faith, the sort of faith God longs to see. And of course, this story gives the assurance too that though there may have been a time when God's blessings were restricted, now they're available to the whole of the world, Jew and Gentile, to all who come to him in the right kind of way. A faith which is persistent but not demanding, humble but not timid, which doesn't come to God thinking how lucky he is to have us believe in him or how lucky he is we've come to church, but rather is aware that we need him far more than he could ever need us, and that he has done far more for us than we could ever deserve or repay. That's the kind of faith God longs to see in each one of us. And it's the kind of faith that is sure to find a response from him. Amen. From page 6, we stand for the creed. We say together, we believe in one God.